together. So, adults, let's stand out of reverence for God's Word, and we're going to read from 2 Corinthians, and the bulletin insert is a little bit different. It should be verses 11 through 21. Let's read in unison together. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live shall no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. I'm going to ask Mike Windsor, our elder serving for the month, to come and pray over the word.
Father, we come to you. We ask with humble hearts, Lord, that you touch us through your servant, Pastor Tom. We ask that you would show us just a little more that we are to grow and become more like you each and every day. Thank you so much that you don't show us the whole ball, that you only give us what we can handle, and that we could change a little bit by little bit into more and more like you. Jesus, we pray it in your Son's name, or in your name, Lord. We ask that you fill us with your Spirit and you allow us to change. You give us that grace to change. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. In your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you've not already. And in the bulletin is an outline that will go along with the message. If you find that helpful, I invite you to use that as well. I apologize. I don't normally drink Pepsi or soda in front of you all, but I'm struggling with my voice a little bit this morning. And Pepsi just seems to clear it out. Take your bulletin for a moment, would you? If you have one handy, just grab your bulletin. And you'll see right at the top of your bulletin is our mission statement. Would someone be willing to just stand and read that out loud really, really quick? Just stand right where you are and read it out, the mission statement at the top of the bulletin. Some brave soul. Here we go. Read one more time, a little louder.
Loving Jesus and loving people.
Thank you. This is the mission statement that we have at the top of our bulletin. And to be very honest with you, we've tried to keep it very simple. When people come and they ask, what's the mission? What's your church all about? There it is. We're about loving Jesus and loving other people to Jesus. That, in a nutshell, encompasses what we're all about. And through every aspect of our ministry here, whether it is through the Vacation Bible School that we're going to celebrate this week, we're going to have such a great time. We're trying to love Jesus in the midst of that and love these children to Jesus. When we come together in Bible study or small group, or maybe you just get together for lunch or for coffee, our mission remains the same, that we love Jesus right there in the midst of that, whatever that activity is, and then we're trying to love other people to Jesus. Because, you see, that's what Jesus is all about. A few weeks back, we had a Sunday school class that focused on what are the foundational components of Island Alliance Church and of the Christian Missionary Alliance, the fellowship of believers, worldwide fellowship of believers that we're affiliated with. What are the main components of this ministry? And the first session focused from Luke chapter 24, where Jesus walked with the disciples on the Emmaus Road. And he took them through the scriptures, beginning all the way back in the law of Moses. And he showed them, step by step, that it is all about him. It's all about Jesus. That's really what we're all about. It doesn't really matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what church you were raised in. It really doesn't matter where you've come from, what culture, what ethnicity. It doesn't matter what you look like, how you dress. It's all about Jesus in our lives. That's what we're about here. We're not about, you know, dressing a certain way or wearing our hair a certain way. Some of us have to wear our hair a certain way because we don't have much hair anymore. Some of us shave our head, and rightly so. Some of us dress comfortably and casually. Some of us dress up more formally. It doesn't really matter. Those are not the thing. Because just like we sang in that song a few minutes ago, God looks on the heart. God looks on the heart, and you see, the outside, man looks at the outside appearance, but God looks at the heart. And that's really what it's all about. And so, when we talk about the fact that it's all about Jesus, we need to move on from who Jesus is, and we've been talking about that at length. We had Christmas, how he came to earth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Then, throughout those months, we celebrated who Jesus is and the fact that he came and he taught and revealed the Father to us. And then, at Easter time, we celebrated his death and resurrection, that he came and he gave his life. As we sang just a few minutes ago, and as we just repeated the scripture, God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us. God was reconciling the world through Christ, reconciling us through Christ. And so we celebrate Easter. And then following Easter, we focus on the fact that there is a call. God has given us through Christ a mission. And that's what I want to talk about us today. God has given us a job. He's called us to himself, and then he's given us a job. And so you need to understand, every one of you who are here today, and you know Jesus, you have a job. You're not unemployed. You have a job. Jesus has given us a job. He's given us one primary responsibility, and it's this. He's called us to be his ambassador. He's called us to be his representative. And we are to take Jesus' command and call and charge to us, we are to take it very, very seriously. I think, and I'm venturing in saying this a little bit, I think if we took Jesus' call to be his representative, we took his call to be his ambassador as serious as we take many other things in our life, we would see a great difference in the church. We would begin to see a multiplication of disciples happening over and over and over again. Because that's what his call is, and we need to take it seriously. Guys, I'm going to ask if you could bring the house or the spotlights down just a little bit. They're just a little bit glaring. And Jesus has given us this responsibility, this calling. 2 weeks ago, the U.S. ambassador to Kenya, South Africa, which it's considered probably the most important embassy in the African continent. It's the embassy in Kenya. And this ambassador announced his resignation. It's the ambassador Scott Gratian. And he stepped down because he cited differences and priorities between President Barack Obama and Washington and himself. He stepped down because a report was coming out, and that report was going to reveal that his priorities, the way he's been running the embassy, the team there, he had different priorities from the United States and from the president from Washington. And so he gave his resignation. And you know what? Rightly so. You see, because an ambassador, we're about to see, an ambassador is to represent the person who has sent them. An ambassador is not to have his own priorities. An ambassador is to have the priorities of the person who has sent them. And so in the same way, we are to be all about Jesus. We are to have Jesus' commands, His priorities, His concerns. We are to be serious about His call. And you know what happens when we're not serious about His call? Jesus has a way of shaking things up. Just like that embassy is getting shaken up because this ambassador is going to be removed. And guess what? Probably most of his staff that's been there for years, that staff is going to be removed too. God's shaking up that house. And when we are not serious about our call to represent Jesus Christ as His ambassador, He will shake things up. He has a way of doing that, doesn't He? He has some very interesting and sometimes humorous ways of shaking things up and getting His point across to us. The main point in this passage of Scripture is this. Now that we have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, we are called to be His ambassadors. We represent Him to everyone around us. We represent Him. Jesus, before He left earth, before He went back to the Father, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, He said this to the disciples. And you remember the context. The disciples, they were pretty excited. I mean, you've got to think about this with me. Jesus had died, and they thought that was the end of it. You know? Oh, our Master has died. Our teacher has died. What happened? And then He appears to them. And they still don't get it. They still don't understand it. They're like, "What? You're a ghost, Jesus?" And He says, "No. Here, put your hands in the nail prints of my hand. Put your hand in my side. See that I'm not a ghost. What, you guys, you have some food here? Let me have some of this food." And He ate it in front of them. Jesus was not a ghost. He was the true risen Christ. And so they're excited. Our Master is resurrected. He's back. And they said, "Jesus, what's the program? What's the plan?" Acts chapter 1, they said, "Lord, are You at this time, are You going to set up the kingdom of Israel? Are You going to, you know, set it back up again?" They were really excited. And Jesus says to them, "Guys, it's not for you to know dates and times that the Father has set by His own authority. But here's what you do need to know. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And watch this. He says, "You will be My witnesses." You will be My witnesses. You and I have a calling and a responsibility upon us, and we are going to be His witnesses one way or another. You understand that? You will either be a good witness for Jesus, or you will be a bad witness for Jesus. And we have to choose. You will be a witness for Christ one way or another. Let's talk about it a little bit. Let's break it down. First, we need to understand what's an ambassador. When Paul talks about the fact here that we are ambassadors for Christ, what is an ambassador? Well, an ambassador is one who acts as an authorized representative or messenger. So just like the ambassador of the United States to the Kenya embassy, Scott Gratian, he was charged by the president and by United States to represent the United States and their interests, their priorities, to that embassy there and to the country of Africa. He was charged and authorized to be a messenger, to be a representative, given authority. Jesus Christ has authorized us, His followers, to be His representatives and His messengers. You remember in Matthew 28, the end of the verse, right before He's about to leave, He says, listen, guys, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to Me. Now you, therefore, go. In your going, make disciples. So He transferred that authority to us. And here's something that I've got to say to you, that sometimes I think we have in our mind that God has another plan. God has plan B. I need to tell you something. God does not have plan B. He has given us His plan. He has said to you and to me, I want you to go, and you're going to be My messengers, you're going to be My ambassadors, you're going to represent Me. And through you, I want you to make disciples of all the peoples of the earth. So now, go. Go. And they're standing there like, what? And then, of course, He gives them the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which now they get it. Now they understand it. And so that's very important for us to understand. Jesus has given us the authority to be His messenger. And wow, that is an awesome responsibility, isn't it? I mean, it's overwhelming. It is very overwhelming to think that somehow, through me, through you, God is going to take His message of reconciliation, His message of Christ. He's going to take that message and He's going to bring it to other people, and through that, they're going to get saved. Whew. That's heavy. Now, it doesn't depend on just any one person, right? Later on, Paul talks about the fact that one will sow and another will reap benefit of that. One of us sows a word, someone else waters it, and someone harvests it. So it's the process for all of us. We're kind of in this mix together. And, you know, sometimes we put more pressure on ourselves than we need to. He's told us to be His ambassadors. He's not told us to be Jesus. And He's not told us to be the Holy Spirit. And so a lot of times we think we've got to get this thing done by the power of our own strength. No. No. Because you can be a witness, a messenger to somebody, and guess what? They won't listen to you. And you have to be okay with that. That's hard, isn't it? But you have to be okay with that. And so Jesus has this awesome responsibility that He gives to us. And I need to just tell you up front, you know, please understand, I don't think and I don't feel that I do very well with this responsibility. Please don't think that I'm up here, you know, oh yeah, I got it all together, you know, and I know how to tell people all about Jesus. I have really got it together up here. Please don't think that, because I don't. There's many times I feel just as awkward as you when you get into a situation and, you know, you're trying to figure out how to bring Jesus into this conversation. You know, you have an opportunity and you're trying to figure out, Lord, how to navigate into this conversation. I'm no expert at this. You know, I'm trying to, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, I'm trying to find my way in this as well. So please don't think I'm up here, you know, preaching at you. I'm preaching to us, all of us. But let's break it down in the few minutes that we have together. And it was Bob King that said to me, Pastor, you haven't preached in a few weeks here, so you're not going to unload all this in one shot at us, are you? So now I'm very mindful that the clock is ticking. We're going to break it down. You notice I only have 2 points, all right? 2 points on the message. It's like the little boy who saw the preacher take his watch off, and the preacher took that big watch off, and he set it down right next to the pulpit, and the little boy turned to his mom, and he said, Mom, what does that mean? And his mom turned to the little boy, and she said, it doesn't mean a thing. But I am mindful of the clock. It's right up there on the wall. Number one, let's break it down. If we are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, then we are a new creation through the indwelling Spirit. The old is gone, and the new has come. We just read this passage here, and we're reading a couple of verses here. Verse 11, Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade people. Then, in verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. If you're here today and you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Now, there is an if there, isn't there? It's conditional. It's not automatic. This message of reconciliation, that God is in the world reconciling people to himself, it does not apply to us automatically. We must receive that gift by faith. We must receive by faith this reconciliation that God has for us. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But when we do that, when we do receive this gift of reconciliation between God, by the way, the word reconciliation means to make it right, right? To fix it. See, between God and man, there is an issue. It's called sin. You and I have sinned. Well, Pastor, I think it's unfair. I had someone say this to me. Well, I think it's unfair. You know, Adam and Eve sinned. And now we're all suffering because of that. Right? I said, yeah, that is true. Adam and Eve were the first ones to sin. They are our first parents. You know, it is, in a sense, the headship of humanity. They sinned. But I think it was Martin Luther that coined this phrase. He said, yes, Adam and Eve sinned first, but every one of us confirm it. Every one of us confirm it by sinning ourselves. We come to that age of accountability where we know what is right, what is wrong, and inevitably, every one of us who are human, we choose to do the wrong. That's called sin. We rebel against what God has given us as his commands. We rebel sometimes against our parents. We rebel against the laws of society, whatever it may be. We break that which we know we should not do. And so we sin. And when we come to that place of receiving this reconciliation, being made right with God through Christ, and then we receive the Holy Spirit. And watch this. The Holy Spirit makes alive what was once dead in us spiritually. The Holy Spirit makes alive that which was dead in us spiritually. If you have not yet come to Christ, listen, you still with me? Say amen. If you have not yet come to Christ, then you are dead spiritually. That's not my words. That's the Scripture's words. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For it is the trespasses that make us dead in sin. But the gift of God is what? Faith for Jesus Christ is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. See, trespass brought the punishment, but it is by grace we are saved through faith. And this is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. And so, that which was dead is made spiritually alive when we come to Christ. That which was unresponsive to God is made alive. The Holy Spirit comes in, and he takes that which was old and makes it new. Therefore, it says, you are a new creation. Now, don't you wish everything had changed overnight? Don't you wish everything about you, when you came to Christ, and we all have come with all the issues and all the baggage, right? Don't you wish that got changed in an instant, overnight? But it doesn't happen. It's a process. But in God's eyes, he looks at you and he says, you're a new creation. Now live like it. Live in that creation that I've made for you. He takes what is old and he makes it new. And you and I are a new man, a new woman, because we are created in Christ as a new creation. That old person, that old me, which the Scripture is called the flesh, that old person is not done away with. I wish it was. It's not eradicated. That old man is still there, and that's why we're called to surrender to Jesus every day. Surrender to him. Submit ourselves to him every day. Be a living sacrifice is what the Scripture says. Offer yourself a living sacrifice. And when we do that, that we live in that newness of life. But you know what? You can go right back to your flesh very easily. Charlie Moxley, Charlie and Connie were here last week, and Charlie and I, when we talked, I love Charlie because he's just so honest and so transparent. And he said to me, Pastor, he said, if I get away from God's Word, if I get away from, you know, seeking God, he said, in 2 or 3 days, he said, I'm the most carnal person you'd ever want to meet. He said, I will revert back to the old person that I was in a heartbeat. And he said, in 2 or 3 days, you get away from God's Word, and you will be living in the default mode of your life, and that's to live out of your flesh. You'll live out the old you. And that's why we have to stay surrendered and submitted to the Spirit of God in our lives every day. Well, how does this come about? How do we come into that new creation? It starts, verse 11, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord. How do we come to know what it is to fear the Lord? What did Paul mean by this? What did he mean by us to fear the Lord? Well, I have some scriptures that I think will help us to understand this. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Hey, John, read that for us.
Fools despise wisdom and discipline.
One more time, Jeff.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline.
Okay. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You notice that it has the word Lord. That is, in the NIV, the capitalized word Lord is the transliteration of the word Yahweh. Okay? So we're talking about the covenant God, Yahweh. That's what the word Yahweh means, the covenant God. And so we are to have a fear, a healthy fear and respect for the Lord, the one who has made a covenant with us. First he made a covenant to Israel, the old covenant. Now he's made a covenant with us in Christ, the new covenant. Okay, that's Proverbs chapter 1. So if you want to have some understanding, you want to have any kind of spiritual understanding and knowledge, it needs to begin with the fear of the Lord. Okay, the next scripture. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28.
Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell.
Oh boy, there's that hell word. Boy, preacher, you must be one of those old-fashioned guys, and you don't realize that's not politically correct to talk about hell anymore. Well, guess what? Jesus talked about it a lot. And unabashedly and unashamed. And he said this, don't be afraid of people who can kill the body, but they can do nothing to the soul. You need to be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Now we got preachers today that are writing books saying that, you know, there really isn't any hell anymore. You know, God did away with that idea. You know what? Don't buy it. Don't buy that line. I appreciate that heart. I really do. I understand that you want love to win out. And you want everybody to be saved. You want everybody to come to Christ. I understand that. I get it. Okay? But that's the human way. That's the human love and compassion coming out. I understand it, but it's not God's way. It is not the gospel. It is not what Jesus taught in the Word. Jesus very clearly talked about the fact that there is a heaven and there is a hell, and we must choose which way we want to go. God never sends anyone to hell. We choose what we want. You want to be with God? You want to be with Jesus? You choose that. If you don't want anything to do with Him, He's a gentleman. He will not force you. I've heard people say, oh, it's just not fair because, you know, a person can live all their life and they want nothing to do with Jesus. And then on their deathbed, you know, all they have to do is say a little prayer and they're going to heaven. Now, you know, it's just not that simple. Because if you've lived your life and you don't want anything to do with Jesus, probably not much is going to change when you're about to die. Have there been deathbed conversions? Yes, there has. And thank God for it. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't want anybody to, you know, reject God and be separated from Him. I don't want that. And I understand there have been some deathbed conversions. And I praise God for that. Why would I have an attitude about that? Because the Scripture says, I'm a sinner, just like you're a sinner, just like anyone else is a sinner. We don't deserve anything. And so, a person who comes to Christ, praise God. Whether it's at the beginning of their life or at the end of their life. Let's rejoice in that. Let's not use it as an excuse or smokescreen. So you choose, and I choose, who we want. Fear the Lord. Don't be afraid of those who can kill the body. And he's talking there about people. But rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body. You and I need to have a healthy fear for the Lord. We need to understand that God is not a grandfather sitting up in the sky winking at sin. Oh, you know, it's all okay. It's all good. It's not. This is serious. Jesus was serious in his teachings. One more. Scripture from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 to 29. Tammy Nielsen, very thankful that she's here and kept safe from the accident. And she's going to read that for us.
Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire.
Our God is a consuming fire. Wow. That is some serious, some heavy words, isn't it? Our God is a consuming fire. When you read through the book of Hebrews, it talks about the fact that, you know, what happened to the Israelites was meant as examples for us. And we do well when we read it and understand that God is very patient. But there comes a point when he will give us the consequences of our sin, of our actions. He's very patient. But he will give us the consequences of our sin and our actions. Our God is a consuming fire. Many, many times in the Old Testament, when people got to the point where they were worshiping false gods, and basically when you're worshiping a false god, you're saying to the one true God, I really don't want anything to do with you. I'd rather have these man-made false idols here. You know, Isaiah talks about the fact that the carpenter takes a piece of wood, and out of that piece of wood, he uses some of it for firewood, and the other piece, he takes it and he fashions an idol. He gives it a face, he gives it a nose, and he says, then we bow down to it and say, this is our God. Now, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but that's Tom's translation. But isn't that the truth? We take that which our hands have made, and we make it our idol. Oh, Pastor, we don't bow down to idols today. Yeah, we do. We make a pile of money, and then we start bowing down to it. It's most important in our life. Has all our devotion. We find a person, and they become the idol of our life. They're more important than any other thing in our life, more important than God. We do anything for them. That's an idol. God says, love me first. Worship me first and only. So the way that we understand that in the Christian context is we love God first, we love our spouse second, if you have children, third, and then ourselves last. We're servants to all the others. That's the way it works with God. He wants to be first. Our God is consuming fire. And so, we have to have a healthy fear of the Lord. We have to understand that God demands, listen, he demands our first and foremost allegiance. He demands our priority in our lives. He will not take second place. And so, the very first issue is this. Have you come to fear the Lord? Have you come to truly understand and fear the Lord in a right and respectful and proper way? Do you understand, as we just read the scripture, that Jesus said that he is one who can destroy both body and soul in hell? Do you understand that? He can do that. He has the power to do that. He is not someone to be messed with. He's not someone to play games with. Now, I'm not trying to make this message to be a heavy, but I think there needs to come an element of seriousness in our day, because you see, if we're not serious about this message, understanding the fear of the Lord, we will not be serious about being his ambassador. You see, if you think that everything's okay for me, I can do whatever I want, live my life however I want, there's no consequences, that you're going to think that about everybody else too. But if you understand that God requires and demands my allegiance first and foremost in my life to Him, then you're going to understand that's the way it is with everyone else. And there is a message of reconciliation because all of us have failed in that, haven't we? I have failed in it. There's been many, many times I've not made God first in my life when I have sacrificed my allegiance to Him for other things. Pleasure, materialism, you name it. I'm just as guilty as you. We have to come to a serious, serious position in understanding of the Lord and His fear, and the fear of the Lord. So my question to you here this morning is, first, are you reconciled to God? Have you come to that place of being reconciled to God through Jesus Christ? Have you come to fear the Lord? You understand that you are a sinner separated from Him, and without His gift of forgiveness through Christ, you are lost. Have you come to that? Have you been reconciled to Christ? The gift is free, but you and I must receive it. And you will not receive that gift if you don't understand or you do not believe that God is who He says He is and that Jesus has taught us the truth. There is a big push today, rather than try to say, oh, you know, Jesus didn't really say that He was God, God's Son, and Jesus didn't really say, you know, that there's a heaven and there's a hell. Jesus, you know, that used to be the way it was before, several decades ago. We'll just teach that Jesus didn't really say those things. And most people start reading the Bible and say, wait a minute, Jesus says that very clearly here in the Word. He says those things very clearly. So, you know what the big push is today? The big push today is, oh, this isn't really true. God's Word is not really true. It was written by men. No, we don't really have anything that Jesus wrote Himself. All we have is what His disciples wrote, and guess what? It's tainted. You can't trust it. It's not reliable. In fact, there's a lot of Gospels out there. They're not recorded in the Bible because those Christians, they didn't want the Gospels in the Bible. You read those other Gospels, man, they're really messed up. I had somebody send me, this past week, somebody sent me the Gospel of Thomas. Did you know that there is a Gospel of Thomas? It is not in the Bible. It is not in the collection of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's not in here. There is a Gospel titled the Gospel of Thomas, and this person sent this to me this week. And it was sort of a, you're such an idiot to believe that stuff. It was kind of that attitude. It's like, oh, you believe all that stuff? Read this Gospel. And so I wrote back to this person. I said, you understand that the Gospel of Thomas was written probably in the 2nd or 3rd century. It was unaccepted by the church, and it was written as a pseudonym. It was a nobody. Basically a heretic. A person who did not really believe in Christ. And they wrote under the name of Thomas so that the writing would be accepted. And you read it, and it is ridiculous. I mean, it is full of the most insane nonsense that you've ever read. You can read it, and it's like, this guy's on drugs. Whoever wrote this thing. You compare it to the Gospels, it's just, there's no comparison whatsoever. But it's written 2 or 3 centuries after the writing of the true Gospels. And they don't write in their own name. Why? Because it wouldn't be accepted. They write in the name of the Apostle Thomas. Oh, that'll be accepted, right? It's a bunch of nonsense. And you know, here's the thing. Most Christians don't know that. So their faith gets shaken. In weeks ahead, what I'm going to do is going to focus on some of the foundations of the faith that we have to have in place so that we're not shaken. Today I'm starting with the fear of the Lord. And so my question to you again is, have you come to that place of being reconciled to God in Christ? If not, you need to. This is first priority in your life. This is not about coming to church. It doesn't really matter what church you go to as long as they're preaching the true gospel. They're preaching from the Scriptures, and they're preaching it correctly, and they're giving you an opportunity, like I'm going to in just a moment, to receive Christ into your life and to follow Him. Secondly, and I'm going to end here on point one today because Our time is way gone. We'll turn it into a series. For you who are Christians, you have come to know Christ. You are reconciled to God. Let me ask you a question. Are you walking worthy of the calling you have, Christ? He's called you to be His representative. He's called you to be His ambassador. He's called you to be His messenger. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes this. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. Verse 2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Ooh, I wish we could not do verse 2. Be completely humble and patient. Excuse me, humble and gentle. Whew. Don't do too good in that area. I don't know about you, but I'm not doing too good in that area. Be patient. What about you? How are you doing with being patient? Be gentle, bearing with one another in love. Excuse me, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Watch this. Here's where I'm going to end. Your life, your attitudes, and your action. The way that you talk, the way that you live your life, the way that you text, the way that you put on Facebook, all those things, you are representing Christ. Some of you all sitting here and you're not even paying attention to what I'm saying. You're texting, you're thinking about what you want to put on Facebook right now. You don't understand that you are representing Christ, what you put on Facebook. You're representing Christ in the texting that you send out. You're representing Christ in every aspect of your life. And watch this. People are watching you. Don't think that people are not watching you. People are watching you. And see, they're wondering, what difference has it made for you to come and be reconciled to Christ? What difference has it made for you to be a Christian? What difference has it made? Some serious stuff today, isn't it? God's called you to be Christ's ambassador. Represent Him in every aspect of your life so that when people look at you, they see Jesus. I'm failing in that. But I'm trying. I'm trying. Every day, I say, Lord, I'm not doing very well with this. I'm not doing very good in myself. I need You to help me. I need You, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, to continue to change me, make me to the person You want me to be so that I'm representing You right. You know what? I'm trying to take it seriously. I really am. I don't always do very good at it. And you see, I'm not telling you anything you guys don't already know. I know. Sometimes I really screw up. But I'm trying to take it seriously. How about you? Are you trying to take it serious? Are you taking God's call seriously in your life? Let's pray. Father, thank You that You have done what we could not do ourselves. You have reconciled us. You have made things right with us and with You through Christ. You made Him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Lord, we can barely even comprehend that. Lord, as You said, and as we looked at Your Word a few minutes ago, You said, become like a child, trusting and understanding and believing You. Lord, all we can say is, once we were lost, now we are found. Praise to You, Lord, for saving us. Father, I pray for anyone that's here today and they have not yet come to Christ. They've not yet made that commitment to receive His gift and follow Him as Lord in their lives. If that's you, you're here today and you know you've not made that commitment, I want to challenge you. The Lord says today is the day of salvation. He says, if you hear My voice, don't harden your heart. Make that commitment. Take that step. So So I want to give us an opportunity. We're going to all pray together. We're not trying to embarrass anyone, but we're going to all pray together. And if you will pray this out of your heart, then God will hear you and He'll begin a miracle in your life. Would you pray with me? Repeat this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me and sending Jesus for my sins. I believe He is your Son. He died for my sins and rose again from the dead. He's given us His Spirit, and I believe in Him. I receive you, Lord Jesus. I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me and cleanse me. Make me new. Give me your Holy Spirit so that I can serve you in power and in holiness. Help me, Lord, to have a heart to follow you and honor you and be your ambassador. In your name, amen. 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 If you're here today and you prayed that for the first time, I'm telling you, God is going to be again a miracle in your life. We would love to pray with you. We'd love to cement that in your life. So we're going to close the service in just a moment. And if you would like to come on up and pray with us, or if you have a need for any reason, then come on up and let us pray with you and join hands to ask God to meet your need. God bless you all. Have a wonderful rest of this day. God bless. Bye-bye.